This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin, and this week I am once again running things solo because of BJ's microphone and computer problems. And given the timing and everything that's been going on this week, it seemed like a good idea to kind of take a stroll down memory lane, if you will. So I know on this podcast, a lot of times we talk about Dragon Quest, obviously, but we bring up a lot of other RPGs, and probably if you've heard me talk about generally any game that existed between like 1996 and like 2006, you've probably heard me talk about my next door neighbor Wade, who was a friend of mine, who got me into RPGs and pretty much any RPG that released during that like decade, if it came out and I played it, either he probably watched me play it or I watched him play it. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit in this week's episode and do something a little bit differently, because not to have a huge like bummer or anything, but something I don't think I've ever mentioned before is Wade actually died in a car accident, and it was about 10 years ago now. So it's been 10 years since that happened, and one of the biggest games we bonded over was the original Final Fantasy VII, and now FF7 Rebirth is out. And so all of those things have kind of come together and seemed like an episode worth doing today. So I guess this week's episode is kind of more like story time with Grandpa Austin about when I was a kid, when I grew up, and things like that. Because there are a lot of good memories associated with that. Before I dive into all that or talk about that stuff a whole lot, though, I do want to give just a huge shout out to people who have been sending some nice messages and responding to our questions and things like that on Spotify. Really appreciate all of y'all and responding to this podcast and everything. It's really cool to see. And also for everybody who's played FF7 Rebirth, I hope you're enjoying it. I have not gotten very far in it myself. I got it on launch day. We got the like deluxe edition of FF7 Rebirth on launch day, and meant to like dive right into it and just play it a whole lot, but I had some controller issues. The original controller that came with my PS5 had stick drift so bad that I could not play it. It was kind of like the menu was basically like the, you know, like Wheel of Fortune, the spinning wheel, not on the Wheel of Fortune, on Price is Right, the little spinning wheel that you do at the very end. You try to hit it on 100. It was like that. The menu was just like ding, 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 just going like over and over again. It was really annoying. And then my other controller that I had was one of the girls spilled water on it, and it hasn't worked since. And then the other controller I had, I had a really nice PS5 controller that I got sent to review. It was for like esports, and you could actually replace the like the analog, like the L3 and R3 sticks on them. And my kids have just like lost all of them over time, so there's just one left. We have it over on the left side, and the other one's just missing it. So anyway, I had to go and get a new controller Because three controllers. Yeah. My wife actually surprised me with the controller, and she got the insurance, the like 2-year insurance, because it's only like $6. And I'm usually like, oh, insurance, it's such a waste of time. But then she pointed out that if I had insurance, then maybe I could have gotten the one that got water spilled on replaced, because that was definitely within a 2-year window. So I was like, touche, you are a smart lady. And so anyway, so I had a new controller, started playing FF7 Rebirth, and it just has not, haven't had as much time to play it as I have liked, but it's open world and has lots of cool little mini games and things to collect. So I think I'm going to really enjoy it, definitely more than FF7 Remake, which just never really gelled with me and didn't like it that much. So anyway, with all that being said, I guess let's travel back in time with me, if you will, to probably the mid to late 90s, let's just say. Now this is, I will say that a lot of this is contingent upon my memories, and so this is getting up there now. It's pretty soon going to be 30 years ago, which is just really depressing to think about, that it's been that long. Some of it is not that long ago, but still probably a solid like 20 years ago. So if some of my timeline stuff gets wrong or whatever, I'm sorry. This is basically just going to be me recounting RPGs, including Dragon Quest and other things like that, that came out during that time, and kind of how they related to my friend, my next door neighbor, Wade, who got me into RPGs. So probably the first RPG that I kind of discovered on my own ever was probably Pokemon. Like every other kid in the 90s, you saw Pokemon Red and Blue came out, the anime, the cards. I mean, there were just all these things. And so that was kind of the first RPG I really got into on my own. I guess if you consider Zelda to be an RPG, which I do not, then I guess A Link to the Past was kind of my first one. But I don't really consider that one an RPG, and that's a whole episode for another day. So I guess Pokemon was really the first one I got into on my own. Before that, it all relied on my friend Wade here. And he played Pokemon too. We both liked Pokemon. I can remember like trading Pokemon on our Game Boy Colors and things like that. Back in the day, you had to have the little cable and everything. You know, it was kind of a pain in the butt compared to just using the GTS and trading and stuff right now. But, you know, we did it, and we rode the bus together. We lived in, I guess I should back up and say, this is rural Tennessee. So this is not just me providing, like, local flavor or color or anything like that. Like, literally, there were dirt roads, and there were, they call them underwater bridges, but it's just like a slab of concrete that they put in a creek, and the water flows over the concrete, but it's high enough that, like, cars can drive through. It makes it easier. There were those kind of things all around where I lived. And still to this day, there's underwater bridges like that. Some of these roads have not been paved, like really rural Tennessee, okay? And way, way out in the boonies. But he was our next door neighbor. And so when you're that far and that rural, it's probably, I would say maybe a quarter of a mile down the road from us. It was a short walk. Like my parents were okay with letting us walk to his house, and he could walk to our house. And you know, it's Tennessee, so it's not like a straight line. It's like you had to go down a hill and then up a hill to get to his house. And so we would, you know, like ride bikes and stuff to each other's houses. We would just walk there sometimes. We would ride bikes to, there was a little store that was like 2 miles away, and we would ride our bikes over there. Maybe get like a drink and then ride back if we had some money on us and stuff like that. But very rural, very, you know, small town. I checked before I recorded this episode. I Googled to see what the population was. And according to this, there are less than 500 people is the population there. And it's probably even fewer kids now than it was then. And back then there was like maybe I could count like 5 to 10 kids. Like I'm sure I could count it all on my fingers. Wouldn't even have to go to the toes. Like not very many kids around, but we got lucky because Wade, he was 2 years older than me. So we were kind of the same age. And then my little brother was 2 years younger than me. So kind of as a group, the three of us could play well together. There was a little church also down the road from our house. And of course he went there and we went there because, you know, it's rural Tennessee and there's one little church. So you all go there. And There's a couple of other kids that went there, but we're the only ones that like lived around. So we basically just played together, got in trouble together, and went to each other's houses like all the time. And like I was super jealous of him growing up too, because he wasn't an only child, but he was the kind of kid, he was like the kid in his family. So he had some sisters that were like an adult, who were both adults. They had their own families. Like one of their daughters was like my age. Lived far away, but I mean, she was my age. So, I mean, you know, and then he was like their uncle. Like he was definitely like the kid in the family. So because of that, it felt like he was an only child. And also because of he was the only one living at home, like he always had like the newest, like best video games and consoles and just computers. And like, if there was ever a console or a computer, like he always had it before I did. And I was always super jealous because we got stuff late or not at all, and what we did get, I had to share with my brother like a chump. And so why share it when you could just go and like be an only child? I thought it was really cool. And so anyway, because of all of that, like he always had just a ton of video games, because I think I've mentioned this in a podcast episode before, that like he had this really sweet setup in his room where he had like a TV. And he had, I guess it was probably PS1 is mostly what we were playing originally. And he had PS1, and then he had this little desk with a computer on it. And, you know, he usually had a Game Boy or the GBA, whatever the latest handheld was. So my brother and I would, like, walk down the hill and then up the hill to get to his house. And, you know, we'd knock on the door, and his mom would let us in. We'd go to his room, and then one of us would play the TV, one of us would be on the computer playing something, and one of us would probably be on the handheld playing something. We'd just all chill in there for, like, hours. After school, on a Saturday, after church on Sunday, whatever. That's how we would, like, do this. In my mind, and because of the dates I know for release dates of things now, I think Final Fantasy VII is probably the first one of these games that we will get to. It could be mistaken on that because it all kind of blurs together after a while, but I think Final Fantasy VII was probably the first one. And weirdly, in my memory, I remember the PC game that he had of FF7 more than I remember the PS1 version of the game. And I can just remember him talking about this cool game he got. Materia was like a good selling point at the time, and we thought the cover was like so cool. The cover with like Cloud, I can't talk right now, the Cloud and like the Buster Sword and just like staring up and being in Midgar and everything. Like that was just like the coolest thing ever. Super duper fell in love with that sword, which I'm pretty sure is probably how most people who were alive in 1997 and saw this kind of felt, was that, you know, just absolutely fell in love with this game. So PC version, I think, came out a little bit later. And I do remember he sent the PS1 version home with me to let me play it on my own time, because he wanted the PC version because he liked it better. And he didn't really need both of them at the time. So he was like, yeah, just borrow it. And so went, took it to my house, played it, ended up buying it used, like at a flea market or something later on, because I loved it so much I wanted to own a copy of it myself. But at the time, took it home, played it on my PS1, just really got into it. And he had like the strategy guide, the Brady Games strategy guide for it. And so he would let me borrow those, and we would talk about like secrets or different things we'd found, talk about like a tough boss fight whenever we got stuck on a boss. And we were just super obsessed with it for like a really, really long time, to the point that we're adding on to my house at the time. We had all this like wood lying around. And so I can remember taking a piece of plywood and cut it out in the shape of a Buster Sword and painted it to look like a Buster Sword with like two green pieces of materia in it. And of course it's plywood, and it was cut with like just a handsaw. I mean, I had like a little kid handsaw that I had like used to shape it and everything out of the plywood. You got splinters, obviously. I mean, it's like plywood that you cut. And so what I did was I took a rag and like just took a bunch of duct tape around the rag to make like the grip and everything on the sword's hilt, and carried that around. Just had a good time with FF7. I think, to my knowledge, that was the first time and maybe only time I've ever made a sword from a video game. I think a few years later, I tried to make a Keyblade, I remember, using that same kind of method, and it did not work out for me. Like in, I don't know, what was that, 2002 probably, when Kingdom Hearts came out? So quite a bit later. But yeah, we had a really good time with FF7. And then, of course, back then, you didn't have to wait quite so long for releases of mainline games. We were kids, so it felt probably just as long as like 6 years does to me now. But then FF8 came out, and we played that one. And I really liked FF8 at the time. I remember like defending it for many, many years and playing the remaster. And I still have fun with FF8. But FF9, Final Fantasy IX, back then and still to this day is my favorite out of those three games, the PS1 Final Fantasy games. And again, Wade got all of these games before I did and usually let me borrow them. And then I would go and try to buy them later, usually when they were cheaper, like if they went to the greatest hits, had like the green label greatest hits instead. I would go and grab them then. And then, of course, by like 2000, 2001, whenever Final Fantasy X came out, he got a PS2 a solid probably a year or two before I did. And so he would actually pack up his PS2 and whatever game he wanted to show off to me and my brother. He would pack it all up into his backpack. He would walk to our house, and he had like this big old katana, a black katana. It was made from wood. It was painted all black that he got like a flea market or something. And he would walk to our house with a backpack and this giant katana. I've just always thought, like, people driving down the road, what did they think? Just seeing this kid with this giant katana and like his backpack slung around his back, just like marching toward another house. Like, it was probably kind of a funny sight to see. And then because he had a PS2, that was also kind of where I was first introduced to Xenosaga. I talk about Xenosaga games a lot on this podcast, and just as a person in general, talk about Xenosaga a whole lot. And so that was another PS2 game that he got me hooked on. He brought it, and I don't know that either one of us had really played Xenogears or touched Xenogears at that time, but he brought Xenosaga and was like, yeah, hey, this is like Final Fantasy, but it's in outer space. It's like Star Wars and Final Fantasy combined. And so my brother and I were like, cool, you know, you had us at Star Wars, or you had us at Final Fantasy. Like, we didn't need both of those things to be hooked. We were hooked already, but that sounds really cool. And so we played that one. Legend of Dragoon, which wasn't a PS2 game, but that's another RPG that I know people hear me talk about a lot and that I have very fond memories of. One of my favorite RPGs of all time. That was another game that, of course, he got us into. He brought it over and was like, the way he sold it to us was, he was like, this is a game that PlayStation made that's like a Final Fantasy greatest hit. It like steals, you know, all these elements from the Final Fantasy games, and the combat's pretty fun. And we were like, oh yeah, cool. And then we play it. And of course, Legend of Dragoon, that's like, I mean, Wade was probably like 12 at the time. I don't know. But that's like still probably the best way to describe Legend of Dragoon, I think, is that it's a greatest hits of like the PS1 Final Fantasy games. You have the stuff with, you know, Dart's dad being turned to stone, and you have the stuff with Lavitz getting killed by Lloyd, who's the silver-haired bad guy. And, you know, Lavitz is very much like an Aerith stand-in, I guess you would say, because it's that unexpected death that happens early on. There is a lot of similarities there and a lot of things happening. And so we got to the ghost ship on disc 2. I can remember him sitting at my house for hours. We were trying to figure out the ghost ship, the puzzle on the ghost ship on Legend of Dragoon, like so long. And then there are other big kind of iconic moments, like like fighting and defeating the Divine Dragon on disc 3. Like that happened at my house. You know, he brought the game over, and it was just like this really cool game, really great game that I have loved ever since. And so if you take away one thing from this episode, it's that this dude is really just responsible for me playing like all of these games that I love so much nowadays. Like, he can really be traced back to him. Cannot like understate that enough. And then, of course, I mean, it wasn't all just like, oh, yeah, like one hit after another. Sometimes you brought stuff over that just didn't really, like, ever click with me, like Ninja Gaiden games and Mortal Kombat. I remember we had to play that one when my parents weren't around because it was a little too bloody and violent, and some of the characters were a little too scantily dressed, whereas kind of like... we weren't sure if our parents actually saw us playing it, if they would let us keep playing it. So we played it in his room, at his house. And then whenever he was at our house, back then I didn't have a TV in my room, so we would play it in our living room. And we would only play it if my parents weren't around. But there's lots of games like that. The Baldur's Gate, Dark Alliance games that I think BJ and I have talked about in the past. Like so many great ones. And then, of course, Rogue Galaxy, which I know I've brought up quite a bit, and even Dragon Quest VIII. I have the story about where I watched Wade play Dragon Quest VIII, and I thought it was like a pirate game because I very vividly remember him being at the section in DQ8 where you are fighting the like calamari boss on the ship. You know, DQ8's hero looks like a pirate. He's got a bandana and everything, and Yangus kind of looks like a pirate. I mean, it looked like a pirate game. So I watched him play Dragon Quest VIII, thought it looked fun, and just didn't pick up DQ8 back then. But that memory just had kind of always stuck with me since then. And you know, the fact that I thought it was a pirate game didn't like hurt my chances of playing it, but also didn't just really encourage me to play it. I think more than anything, by the time Rogue Galaxy, Dragon Quest VIII, Final Fantasy XII, all of those kind of games came out, it was that period where like we were really like it was we're in high school at that point. We just totally hung out with completely different crowds, so it was like, you know, he might come over still sometimes and bring a game, but also right around this time he probably would have gotten his driver's license, so wasn't like just walking to like his younger friend's house or anything like that. And two, I was like getting way more into like music than video games at this point. So I wasn't really spending money on video games. All of my money was going out into buying like the latest brand new CD. And so we just kind of drifted apart that way. And by the time I get older, I didn't like go to church anymore or anything. And I don't think he did either. And so it's one of those sad things that happens, but like, I feel like everybody can kind of relate to where you just kind of have this really good friend in childhood that like really and literally like changes your life forever, but then you just kind of go separate ways. That's what happened here. It was like he lived next door, but we just had completely different friends, went completely separate ways, and then he passed away in 2014. If you have a friend like this, make sure you tell them thank you if they're still around. It's just so you can let them know the impact they had on your life, because this guy really, probably more than anybody else, had a bigger impact on my life than anybody did, especially when you consider that like getting into RPGs and everything is really why I fell in love with RPGs and Dragon Quest and have a podcast and have a job that is literally just writing about and talking about video games. Like, that's my day job. I feel like a lot of it really goes back to this time in the like the late 90s, especially with all these PS1 era RPGs mostly, that really kind of like sold me on all of these games. I don't know, but it is weird because we have FF7 Rebirth out now, and it has been 10 years since he died, and so it's almost like in a way things that are like coming full circle because it's all happening again. And I'm interested, on a lighter note, I know I'm not trying to be a huge bummer or anything right now, but yeah, like on a lighter note, like I'm very much looking forward to playing FF7 Rebirth more and seeing kind of what it has to offer and everything, now that hopefully I'll have more time this week and this weekend to play it and have that new controller that has insurance on it, so if it breaks I can get a new one. So it should be a lot of fun. And I am sure that there's some RPGs that I played back then that I just do not remember at all. But thank you guys for listening to this old man story this week and hearing about the My kids talk about it like it's Middle Earth, like it's a fantasy land. They'll talk about, like, I'll tell them a story from when I was a kid, or their idea of something being very, very old is they'll be like, did they have this in the 90s? And sometimes they're like way, way off. Like, I kid you not, Nora, I think, has asked before if dinosaurs were still alive in the 90s. And I'm like, no, not quite. But they'll ask stuff like that all the time. And so there's this kind of mystical fantasy land, like you see in these RPGs. And to them, it's the 90s, which I still think was the best of times. But it's probably just because I'm sentimental and nostalgic. But thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, if you want to talk to us, the podcast, you can find us on Blue Sky or Twitter at DragonQuestFM. And if you want to help support this podcast, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And a huge shout out to all of our Patreon patrons. Really appreciate every single one of you. And if you want to talk to me personally, you can find me over on Twitter or Blue Sky at DragonQuestin. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week. Bye.